rise, let it rise, let it rise from your spirit. Shina bantaya ne sufidiane. Shina la lo sane. Shina la lo saya. Oh Lord, we worship, we worship, we adore your name, your name. You're the reason we live, you're the reason we move and have a being. Oh, it's all because of Jesus. You are the reason why I lift my hands, why I lift my voice, why I sing to you. Yes, Lord, and you are the reason I'm alive today. I am here to say, all because of you. Come on, join me, sing. He's the reason. You are the reason why I lift my hands, Lord. Why I lift my voice. Why I sing to you. Oh, you are. Time, you are the reason, you are the reason why we lift our heads, why we lift our voices, Lord, why we sing to you. Oh yes, oh yes, you are the reason we're alive. We've come to say, Lord, it's all because of you. Oh, you are the reason. You are the reason. You are the reason. And you are the reason. 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 C'est la la douce tendela. C'est la la ba douce tenena ya ba. C'est ni na na ya. C'est ni na ya. Hele apipeli na yamane. Oh, come and lift your voices wherever you are. He's the reason we live and have our being. He's the reason we're alive today. He's the reason we're called sons of God. Sane balo sane liana yana. Oh, come and let his praises rise. Let his praises rise. Let his worship rise. Oh, shatalabaye. Come and let it rise from your spirit this morning. Oh, let it fuel your atmosphere. Satela manela no salabayane. You are, yes, you are. Hela na yelele. Hela na bayanane. Hela la basutele. Come on, let it rise. Just love upon the Father. He's the reason. Oh,
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. I believe you are doing well. I believe your week has been great. You're welcome to another Sunday service and another time of instruction from God, another time of word and fellowship with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. It says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. That means if you speak in another tongue, you edify yourself. You just start by edifying yourself. Just edify yourself this morning. And in the same way you speak to your father, no man needs to understand you. However, in the spirit you speak out mysteries. You edify yourself, you speak out mysteries. You talk to God directly. Iraktoso, iraktoso, ibrahakto logodibragadoso. Mondo logodo, mondo logodo. Mofrogodibrahakta lagadibragadaga lagadibregedoso fedoso to logodo. Manda lagadasa. Manda la gadasa, manda la gadasa, ibebediegelegede, minda acta la gadibre hecto logodibre gediegelegede, mondo logodogo logodibre gadosu fedisa, our spirit man is charged up, our spirit man is edified, is built up, hikra hacto logodibre gadosu fehecte legedese, we are in tune, we are sensitive to receive from God this morning, brocto lata libre hacta, Nina calibre hecte legedibre gedosu fehecte legede, mende legedese, mende nina calibre hecto logodibre gedese, ibobodia, ibobodibre hecto logodoso. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Once again, good morning and you're welcome to this morning service. Can we just, before we proceed, let's agree together that we receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that everything and that reverend will be speaking to us by the spirit of God this morning, we are transformed by them. We are improved. We are built up by them. We are built up by them. We are established in the faith and in everything we give thanks to God. Can we just agree together? Father, we thank you. And Father, we give you praise. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that every word that is spoken to us this morning establishes us in faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are rooted, we are built up in your word in the name of Jesus. We are established in the faith in the name of Jesus. And we, as we are being taught, we give thanks to you. We give glory to you in the name of Jesus. Our eyes of understanding are enlightened. We see with our eyes. We hear with our ears. And we understand with our hearts in the name of Jesus. The grace to do, we are impacted by it through your word in the name of Jesus. We hear your word and we are doers of your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for transformation. Thank you, Father, for impartation that is coming by your word in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name you are prayed. Amen and amen. And I'm sure you are prepared for this morning service. I'm sure your pen is ready, your paper is ready, and I'm sure your heart is open and ready to receive. Praise God. So once again, you're welcome and have a blessed service. Amen.
Good morning, church. And you just go ahead this morning and let's worship our Father. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's right there with us from the beginning of the journey, and he sees us through to the end. He said he declares the end from the beginning. That is the God we serve. So go ahead this morning and just adore him. Acknowledge who he is to you. Adore him this morning. Acknowledge every good work that he has done in you. Father, we worship you. You are the Alpha and the Omega. Thank you for who you are to us. Come on, somebody, let the worship rise. Let the fruit of your lips rise this morning. Thank you, Father. And you are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. That is our Father. And you are Alpha, oh Lord, yes, and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Just one more time, everybody, declare where you are. You are Alpha, hey, and Omega. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to be praised. Go ahead, worship him this morning. Give him all the glory. Give him all the glory. Grateful. Give him your worship. Everybody, with one voice, let's declare this morning. Oh, we give you all. We give you all the glory. Oh, we worship you, our God. You So let me listen clearly. We give you all. We give you all the glory. We worship you, our God. You are worthy to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, na na ma ne ya na ne. Come on. Say. Let His worship rise in you. Let His worship rise in you. From your lips to the Father. From your lips to the Father. Thank you for who you are to us. Kilamande yedane shaliyane na 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 yinane Rabale shinanane leliana. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Ha. We worship you, Lord. Ha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ha. Your grace has found me just as I am. Ha. Empty and then made alive in your hand. Is that your testimony? Your grace has found me just as I am. Oh Lord, and then made alive in your hands. With the lifting of your hands, declare it. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty and then made alive in your hands. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. One more time. Your Lord. Forever. Forever I am chained by your love. We were nothing without him. We were on our way to destruction. He rescued us by his grace. For by grace we are saved. Come on, somebody, let that gratefulness, let that gratitude rise from your inside. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace. Everybody declaring, singing majesty, majesty, majesty. Thank you for loving us, majesty. Forever I am chained by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Oh, forever I am chained by your grace. In the presence of your majesty. Come on, somebody, go ahead and sing in other tongues wherever you are. For its grace, your grace, I'm nothing without you. And it is grace, your grace, it shines on me. The grace of our Father changes everything. It is grace, your grace, oh, I'm nothing without you. It is grace, your grace, shines on me. Shines on me, shines on me. Your grace, it shines on me, shines on me, shines on me, Lord. It's your.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you praise. We honor you. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. We just still acknowledge the Father. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Our Sunday series, you know, is still on being led by the Spirit, yielding to the Holy Ghost. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our eyes are on you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. All right. So, how was last Sunday's teaching? I would like to believe it was good. Was clear. Attachment. All right. Remember, you know, one of the things that was given to them in the law is that you would have no other God apart from me. Okay? So we are born again, and then so we don't have gods, you know, like all these other gods, you know. But God is showing us that, hey, it's not the gods like gods now. Okay? Money is a new god. Self is a new god, you know. Now, they've all always been, but I'm saying for the believer, the competition is now not between God, you know, and Omadiohai, or God and Shango, or God and Ogun, and all of that. Because you're not going to go to those shrines and, you know, now, yeah, some confused believers do that, but you won't, all right? You likely won't. But the flesh becomes new God. It competes with the place of God. And that's a thing there, all right? So it's that competition, that who really is God, who really is leading us, who really directs us, who really determines, okay, how we do what we do, who is Lord. Because when I say someone is Lord over my life, I'm basically saying he has command, he has control, he has the finances. So in Matthew 6:23, we saw where Jesus was saying, listen, you cannot serve two masters. And Jesus made it clear, okay? You know, man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else hold on to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't. You can't serve the two. And Jesus is making this clear. You cannot. Don't try. Don't think about it. You cannot serve both. Did you get that? So in Luke 16, we'll just read Luke 16 again, and we'll run through a few things and then jump into some more. All right? But in Luke 16, and then from the 10th verse of Luke 16, Jesus is saying something here so clear. All right? I open 10. So 16. So it says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Right, he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, okay, who will commit your trust to true riches? Who will? Now, someone says true riches means multi-millions. No, don't kid yourself. He said true riches. All right? Jesus says here, if therefore you have not been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, he calls money unrighteous mammon. So, who will commit your trust to true riches? So, money again cannot be true riches. Money is appearing in two places. So, the true riches are the riches of the kingdom. All right? The things money cannot buy, that can produce money itself. Please understand that. Money answers all things. I know. In this life, not kingdom. They don't spend money in heaven. And it's heaven that is influencing things. All right? Heaven has creative energy. How do you pray for a miracle? How do you pray for healing of bones and eyes and miracles of... How do you pay for that? So the anointing of God is in the truest of riches. The wisdom of God. Those things are pure wealth in themselves. Wealth where kingdom is concerned. Wealth... that can now produce one tiny wisdom from God to a man can make the man a multimillionaire in a day. One idea. You know that. That's obviously ideas rule the world. So there are things that rule money. So don't make money your God. Focus on God. And then you walk in the greater capacities of the true riches, like favor, wisdom, the pure anointings of God. Let's maybe line by line, all right? But just is dealing with attachments, okay? He says, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give your own? So he says it here, what we've read in Matthew. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold on to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So who is leading you? So that means the moment I allow money leads me, that means I am holding on to money at that point and unconsciously, okay, I might be despising God. Because God is trying to get my attention, but money is leading me. I mean, a guy, you know, yeah, looks wealthy, comfortable, is asking a lady out, and she says she doesn't think about it, and her friend says, are you mad? You know, you're mad. Eh? Your papa don't see that kind of money before. And then just, hey, fool, how can you treat me that kind of guy? If you don't want me, I want to. How can you treat me that kind of guy? Well, question is, what leads you? Yeah, you want to get a job. You want to get a job. Naturally, even me, naturally, I would advise you, get a better job. Pick the better up. Naturally. But we're not natural 100%. No. Naturally, that I'll tell you. You have two jobs, one will pay you what? 250, one will pay you like 120. Come on, go for 250. I'll tell you that. We're not natural people. I've shared a story before about my place of IT, my 1 year industrial training after OND. And then I wanted a play mobile, basically. I wanted mobile. Hey, and then saw a new song and new song, and I went there like maybe once or twice, once. You know, eventually I didn't get it. And my heart kept going to NNPC. And back then, NNPC paid what? Like 800 naira. Mobile was given like between 4 and 5,000 naira. I'm talking about 1997. So that was a whole lot of money. Quite some big bucks. I didn't want 800 naira. All right? I mean, by the time we get to the staff bus, I mean, NNPC had something that looked like, you know, a modified Molue. If you remember what Molue is. But Mobile had the air conditioned, you know, all these, what we call the coastal buses now, but there were the types that were out there, new, AC, and then find guys in jeans and, hey, woo, awesome. You want to be among those people. And, as, you know, sometimes you can dream it so much, wish it so much, will it so much till you get it. I'm saying, but I got it. If God didn't want me to get it, I won't get it. No, it is not true. So I repeat. You know, if you're there saying, all I have is God, if God never wanted me to get it, I wouldn't have gotten it. No, it is not true. All right, so Genesis chapter 11. All right? You need to hear what I'm saying well. I believe it's balanced anyway, so. Genesis 11 from verse 1 says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Right? And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they, you know, had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. They said, all right, to themselves, let's build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. God wanted man. Now, this sounds like a creative idea. Let's form a union. Let's get together. Let's build a strong bond. Let's hang out. Hey, let's stay here, guys. Let's build. Let's not scatter. Genesis. Let us make man in our image, our likeness, all right? Let him subdue the whole earth. So God told Adam after he made them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Not the Garden of Eden. The earth. So God needs man all across the earth. So they say, no, lest we be scattered. We don't want to go all across the earth. So it's creative idea. Beware of your creativity. Now, verse 5 says, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of God, you know, build, which children of men build it. Verse 6, and hear this. And the Lord said, behold, the people are one. I'm using King James, so it's one. And they all have one language. And this they begin to do. This is God speaking. And God says, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined. This is God. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. It means if you think it, you'll do it. And this is motivational speaking. This is what we thrive on. If you can dream it, if you can think it, if you believe it, you will achieve it. And this is what we thrive on. But God is saying you could and you would achieve it. Doesn't mean I'm inside it. Like I said, hear all I'm saying well. Hear it clearly. All right? So I'm not asking you now to, what are you doing? Well, I'm sitting there waiting on God. No. All right? You get busy. You walk with your hands, please. You get busy. But I'm saying in our movements in life, we keep an open heart. Because we're not here to be here. We're here following a leader. Or following. I need you here now. Yes, Lord. I want you here now. Yes, Lord. I need you there now. Yes, Lord. And he needs you to be able to live that kind of life without attachment. This is not the life of ministers and ministries. There are ministers and ministries that can't even leave things because they're attached. They can't hand over churches. They can't, you know, even unit leaders that cannot leave units. They hand over a unit to somebody and they must still come. They are still in the same church in a different unit and they are still coming to spy on the other member. You've handed over. Now, it doesn't stop from having relationships with people. You should. It's fine. How are you people doing? How is your unit? I saw you people last week. You didn't stand very well the way you used to stand before. You didn't your teacher not detach. Detach. And like I said last week, some things in life will train you, test you. You detach. And there's a way to teach this thing, and this is it. And I need to say this to, you know, very many of us who express ourselves a lot on social media or to people, all right? Maybe people respect you. Beware of how you communicate stuff. For instance, okay, let me see. Am I done here? I'm done, but let me just read one more time. So, Bible says here, nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So, when you come up with... you know, if God didn't want me to have it, I couldn't have gotten it. You could get, listen, baby, you can get whatever you want to get. I'm going to watch you. Yeah, you'll get whatever you want to get. You make your way. You can make your way. You do it. God's proven it. So we're teaching being led. So stay within the context and understand I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must live a life that is led. And you must prosper. All right? So this is in no way any anti-prosperity message. You will prosper. But in being led, and you've heard that in the Kenneth Hagin tape too, God will teach you to prosper. He would even rescue from the hurts of bad business deals. The hurts of getting that wrong job. The hurts of the wrong relationship. These are major benefits of being led. We would reduce heartbreaks, reduce accidents, reduce stuff. Because we're training ourselves to be led by the Spirit. So we're dealing with things that come as attachment. And money is a major one, guys. Super major. Okay? Very, 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 very major. All right? Now, so when you and I, you know, come up with thoughts... I was saying, especially if you express yourself, beware how you communicate it. John chapter 2. So in John 2, Bible says in 23 of John 2, now when Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. 24 now. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. All right? And needed not that any should testify of man because he knew what was in man. So basically he's saying Jesus didn't trust them. Jesus didn't entrust himself to them because he knew people. He knew that right, human beings could be unstable. Bible said that, thought it moved on. But you know, I could come with, hey, trust you. If you trust me for just see your life, just knock you for the floor. Bagger. You know, and then I paint the same picture, but I paint a very horrible way. I come from Nick. I'm saying what I want to say. But I could say it in a super, super, super duper negative, and then you spoil it. You know? So even the maybe mothers or fathers have had to tell their children, beware of such and such a people, beware of people from Ijebu, beware of people from Calabar, beware of people from Edo, beware of this, beware. You know, they might have, you know, wanted to pass across a, I had a wrong business deal with someone from that place a while back. I have a few friends, you know, that, you know, also had bad business deal with people from that area. Be careful. Most of them seem to be like this, all right? Be watchful. Not, hey, Edo people, worry people, beneath they go sell you. You know, and then you spoil the thing. You're trying to make a point. You know, you're trying to make a point. You don't have to come and I trust you get all I'm saying. But in new learning, what are the attachments? What are the attachments? I'll read one thing we read again last week. I just need to read it again. Please. All right, and that's in Luke, all right? Luke 14:26. Let me switch it. Maybe we'll do NLT. So we'll do, look at Luke 14. And then the 26th of Luke 14. Pick it down from 26. Glory to God. What are the attachments? What are the things that could struggle with you, fight with you, or challenge you in wanting to follow God? So, if any man comes to me and does not hate his own, I'm using NLT, hate his own father and mother, please note, we used Amplify last week, I believe. All right, so NLT now. Please note what NLT is saying. If any man comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, he now puts in bracket, in parenthesis, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude towards God. All right, do you understand that? So it's, this is God, this is family. It says, you can't love us equally. The same way you can't love or serve God and mammon. Who is first? Who is first? So, God is first. Not you. Some of you say, God is first. God is first. And then you tell people, God is first, my life. God. And you only use it to push them away. And I say, hey, now I have my space to do what I want to do. You kid yourself. If God is first, you cannot even do the things you want to do. You do what he... And when we talk like this, not if I follow God, he will make me do the things I don't want to do. He make me do poverty things. And no. No. Right? So people come with, you know, maybe, forgive me, but maybe you grew Catholic and then you're told, all right, you have to swear, you know, make an oath of poverty. No, that's not God. All right? That's not the will of God. Now, yes, they are teaching you to cut off attachments, but God didn't make you have to swear, you know, one oath of poverty. God doesn't believe in poverty. No. But God will train you to detach. When Paul said, I've learned to abase and to abound, I've learned to have and to live without. That's what Paul was teaching. Detach. So that when there is, you're good. When there is none, you're good. Detach. What pilgrims? God can move you to a next season of your life. It will be difficult if you're too attached. An attachment, money is major. But we're learning here, not just money. I'll read again. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother, in the sense, now, this one is not you want to enter a relationship, so you hate your father for the boyfriend's sake or you know, girlfriend's sake. This is not. This is Jesus, not human being. if you eventually despise your parents because of a guy, you now marry the guy and you've started despising your parents before you marry the guy, you are likely in trouble. That guy might not respect your parents. Might teach you to disrespect your parents. You don't do that kind of silly stuff. You don't despise your parents of a lady. You don't do that. You don't do that. The parents have their places. The spouses have their places. Boyfriend is not a spouse yet. And there shouldn't be comparison between my mother and my wife. Which one? If two of them swim, if fall inside the water and there's alligator inside the water, who should I rescue first? They shouldn't go swimming. They should not fall inside water. There's no point in rescuing anybody. Do you understand? So don't come up with those kinds of jokes or story. It's just a riddle. Answer. Which one will you rescue first? They shouldn't go swimming. All right? Nobody should go swimming. So I'm not answering the question. All right? Wife is not mother. Mother is not wife. Mother raised you, brought you up. Wife is now your partner for the rest of your life. Their roles are different. Everybody's different. Mother should not try to play wife. Mother cannot play wife. Mother is mother. She's been mother. And she has to, just as she's built her home, she loves you. She brings her counsel and everything, but she doesn't come to run the home. This is not her home. All right? Bible says you have to cleave. But you must leave. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So you leave them. Mother is not wife. You leave them. Then you cleave to your wife. All right? And same thing for father and daughters now. So you have a girl, she's grown, and then you're, oh, my baby, no man can do you like that. No, you've done your part now. The guy, so part of your part is to train her to find the right guy. Now, I know things are different. Systems are way different now, all right? You know, things are different. You're not with them in school. I know that. But Bible still now says train a child in the way it should go. So those are parts of the training, how to pick a right guy. I pastored a lady many years ago. She said, there's nothing a guy wants to give me or do for me right now that will shock me. Just because my daddy treated us fine. I mean, my dad wasn't super, like, wealthy, but treated them fine. They don't need to go out to look for love. I mean, that was the point she said her dad was teaching them. Have your self-esteem. Be intact. Be fine on your own. If you don't have something, wait for it. Work for it. Their father taught them that. I'm like, that's good stuff. Doesn't it sound like good stuff? All right. So the point is, so this is not compare mother, wife, you know, daddy to husband. That's not what this is. Please understand that. That's not what this is. All right. This is Jesus is saying, I am Lord. Nobody compares to me. Nobody. All right. And the same Jesus now said, husband, love wife. Wife, submit. So he's not coming with, hey, there should be fight in the house. When there's fight in the house, I'm okay. No. He's saying you must love your family. As in, like, super love them. You must make sacrifices for your family. You have to. And like I said last Sunday, if the husband is loving the Lord like nothing else matters, and then the wife is loving the Lord like nothing, and they are both loving the same Lord, the Lord is not the author of confusion, the home will be better. Because the pyramid system, all right? So this is the husband, this is the wife. They are not loving the Lord. It's the same Lord. So they meet. So it becomes a threefold cord that cannot be broken, like Ecclesiastes says. It's a threefold cord. Husband, wife, but the Lord. So they love the same Lord. So as he's bearing witness in the husband's heart on something, he's bearing witness in the wife's heart. Even initially, they both don't agree because there will be differences in mind, in thinking, perspective. But because they both fellowship with the Lord, oh, there'll be sameness, there'll be flow. Or it just feels, minister to you, leave that one, let him do. And then that's because the Lord is the Lord of peace. So this is not fight. I must do what the Lord tells me. The Lord, it's the Lord of peace. So put it in its context. He's not saying there should be strife in the home. Now, yes, in cases where they now gang up against what the Lord will have you do, you stand with the Lord, but you trust God for them. And we've had people do that. A wife gets born again, her husband is not born again. Husband says, hey, you must not pray. Those things people experience. People have been beaten because they got born again. I had a lady who was on campus. Her father disowned her, you know, many years ago. Of course, he sorted out like way back after. But disowned her. Said, I'm not paying your school fees anymore because she was Muslim and she got born again. So you don't tell her, no, Jesus is a Lord of peace. So go and say to your father, go and do a ralau. No, obey your parents. No, Jesus comes in. So I'm saying there's that point. But you're not hating your parents. You believe God for them. You're not hating your spouse. You believe God for them. I mean, there's a story about Wigglesworth's wife. She got born again before him, was in ministry and active before him. And then she went to church. He's been saying, don't go. So one of those times she went to church. And he said, if you go, I'm going to lock you out. And he did lock her out. And the woman sat out there, slept by the door on a cold night. So he opened the door. I think if I have that particular story correctly, if I've not mixed it with another. You know, she's cold. She shivers into the house. And she still gets up to ask if he will want his tea. And he did the thing she would do. Not a hair. You lock me out. My Jesus will show you. No, it's she still, because Peter teaches the wives that win your husbands with good behavior. Win them with good behavior. If they don't know the Lord, through your conduct, they will know the Lord. So he says, win them with good behavior. Win them right. And we're learning this because we need to put it in super duper perspective, please. So if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother in a sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God, and likewise his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life. Most of us read the early part, cut the latter part. Even his own life, he cannot. So you even yourself, love less compared to the Lord. God says, but what kind of life is that? Question is, who are you loving? The Lord of love. Love will not treat you wrong. So if I commit all of my life to the Lord, and all of my family affairs and everything to the Lord, I can trust him and say, he would lead us right. I've never regretted coming to Jebu. All right? And I mean, I've served my time. I've honored God. 14 years here. That's a lot of time, you know. But never regretted it one bit. But it looked like, how is someone leave Lagos to Jebu? And the devil tried using that for me. God is sending you to where nobody will remember you. I didn't come here with a team of people where I knew, oh, I have company. I want to talk to someone who's in the next room. No. But when you trust the Lord of love, himself is love. And you say, I love you more than I love me. Did you get that? It's here. Even his own life also. Yes, I mean, your own life too. Love less. So Lord, I love you more than I love myself. I honor you. I love you more than I love anybody around me. I love you, Lord. When you do that, you trust him. And he will bring about his plans for your life. He will bring you into the best. This will make real for you the trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. We're dealing with attachments. We need to deal with attachments. Deal with attachments. All right? Very, very well. Okay. So we must deal, you know, with attachments, all right? So I said a major area of attachments, or things we need to deal with a lot, and which the Lord addressed even in the epistles, is money. So what is the right relationship, or what kind of relationship should we have with money? That's basically what this thing is. You have to learn to have the right relationship, okay? So let's do a bit of reading into what? Mark chapter 10. Yep. Let's go to Mark 10. We'll do what? NLT? NLT. Mark 10, NLT is fine. So Mark 10, NLT, come to me. Yep. Great. Praise God. All right. Yeah. Okay. So, sorry, I was in the Amplified. NLT, we got you. Good. Pahaha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, and as Jesus was starting, that's Mark 10 from 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running. I like the fact the Bible stressed the running part. A man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good." Now, Jesus is God, all right, but he's getting at the point. All right. "But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father." Remember that teacher, the man replied, "Have obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Listen now and follow the story. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. All right? Jesus answered his question. He now said, "I've done all these things." Jesus now looked at him with love. Like, so what I'm about to read here is love talking. All right? Jesus, you know, felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," Jesus told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me." Huh? At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." What? "But I thought you believe in prosperity." That's why you need to keep reading. And you must read in context. And I wish the guy here didn't leave church after that statement was made. He stayed till service ended. Hear the whole story. Read the whole Bible. Read the whole book. Understand the scriptures. That's what you need to do. Because we've sometimes learned too much prosperity. We've learned materialism. That's why people could steal and still say, "Well, I give God my tithe." No, let him that stole steal no more. So we've some also tilted on, well, new Christian, so whatever, I can live anyhow as long as I'm a new Christian. It doesn't matter. It does matter. So you go to the club, you don't mind. Like I said last week, you sit down with Big Brother for as long as you want. It doesn't mind. You know, you could sit down with people and drink, you know, just booze, alcohol. It doesn't mind. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, just, I'm new Christian. I'm going to heaven. You didn't learn about going to heaven or that you're already a citizen of heaven to misbehave. You learned all that to be a kingdom ambassador. That's why you learned it. So when you mess up, you get up, you don't now try to coat spirituality on top of your carnality. It is carnality. Please. It is carnality. You don't have a business learning worldly songs. You don't have a business with those songs. You don't have a business singing them. Not even now talk of singing them in public. You don't have a business with those songs. You go for a wedding, they play one song, just get up. Hey, I like this song. No, now sit your body down. Please, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, but I like the song. Man, that song has good beats. Say that and hush. You're exposing yourself to them. So as they are coming, okay, tell me the latest gospel song that has come out in the last 3 weeks. You won't know because you're not around. You didn't subscribe to anybody's email. You didn't, you know, some of you that do, you have like one leg here, one leg there. We handle what I'm saying now like SU teaching. This is SU. I didn't sign up for this kind of Christianity. This is hard. This is SU. Come on, we're disciples of the Lord. All right, we're disciples. All right, and this is not judgmental in any way. No, I'm only saying, hey, handle your business. Handle it right. God's way, that's all. That's all, all right? Handle it right. All right? I don't have to now use everyday prayer. No, I'm saying, you make up your mind, I'm kingdom. Now look at the things you do your own self. Look at it. And say, it's not kingdom, it's a mess. Get out of it. That's not kingdom. Get out of it. These guys are real with. They're not kingdom. Yeah, I'm around them to do business. Then do the business. But don't sit with them like one of them till you look like and start sounding like one of them. That's not kingdom. Don't let the people at your office influence you too much. No, it's not kingdom. You make a mistake, get up. And you will keep hearing me say that. Get up, move off the mistake. Don't build a tent there. And don't excuse your carnality. That makes it worse. You'll be deceiving yourself. That's all I'm saying. You got that? So it's not SU. No. It's what kingdom people. That's who we are. Kingdom. All right? We've all messed up. I've messed up. You've messed up. Okay. So we don't sit there. You don't come after and say, you know, I've messed up. I want to now share the word. No, come on. You get out from that. I want to sing a special number, but I messed up 3 years ago. No, come on. You move from there. All right? They make you ahead of you. You know, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I still fought to someone 3-5 years ago. I'm still feeling bad. That we don't teach that too. So because we don't encourage condemnation, doesn't that mean we say, hey, be callous and careless? And no. All right? You jump right in anyway. So read the whole book. That's where we're going. Let me make this quick. All right. How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. This amazed them. But Jesus said, please listen. Dear children, it is very hard to enter in the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples were astounded. All right? Then who in the world can be saved? They asked. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Peter began to speak up. We've given up everything to follow you, he said. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you. So that guy could have waited till the end of this part. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house, or brothers, or sisters, or mother, or father, or children, or property, for my sake and for the good news, will receive now, all right, in return, 100 times as many houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property, along with persecution. Watch this. And in the world to come, the person would receive eternal life. You have to get this. So he's saying, whatever you forsake for the kingdom, you will get it back in 100-fold. Does it now mean you must have 100 houses? No. Well, it means that home you abandoned for the kingdom. God will bless you with homes. Homes that you can enter and they're like your own homes. Doesn't also mean you can't have houses. Houses are here. People have left houses for the kingdom and God has blessed them. Houses all over the world. Harvest of houses. God told me to give you my house. This CFO, this harvest of houses. Some is God blessed them abundantly. They could buy the houses. So both ways is clear. All right? Whatever you leave for the kingdom, you will get back. So it's not a pledge to poverty. Once you get born again and then you're called by God, you know, you sense a call to ministry, you swear an oath and say, God, I'll be poor. No, Jesus wasn't asking the guy to swear an oath to poverty. He was simply saying, I notice you have an attachment. And it was clear. His face fell. The same person who ran to Jesus now was sad and went away like, ha, ha, ha. Attachments. That's all it is. And that's all Jesus was poking at. Jesus saw it. You know it's Jesus, right? He saw it. He said, I see something here. Attachment, boy. Attachment. You got to deal with it. So Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6. Let's see how little we could touch this today. 1 Timothy 6. Now, 1 Timothy 6 we looked at last week, the 17th verse. All right. Paul is saying, you know, we'll do a bit of 1 Timothy 6, and then maybe next one we'll do a little more. But the point is the attachment. Don't forget that. The point is the attachment. Did you get that? The point is the attachment. What you do not to have the attachment, you will keep reminding yourself that God is my source. You'll keep reminding yourself that I am led by the Spirit. I am not led by feelings. I am led by the Spirit. I'm not led by attachments. No, that no matter how painful it is, no matter how much it will hurt me, I will follow the leading of the Spirit. It's the training. And God will honor you for it and bless you and prosper you. Abraham prospered. Don't forget where we're coming from. God told him, leave your father's house. If he was attacked, he would not leave. Then God said, hey, get out of there. He got out. An attached person will still be there and say, God, no, get out. You didn't understand this. Get up. So all God is dealing with is the attachment. He will prosper you. Doesn't want you to hate your folks. Doesn't want you to hate your life and live in poverty. He just says, don't be attached. I could give you all the money you want. This is the same person that blessed Solomon. Come on, guys. Don't be attached. Does that mean stop caring for your car? No. Don't care for your children. Slam your laptop on front and say, I'm cuckoo, not attached to you. That's you know that's something else, Abby. Uh-huh. That's something else. Because whatever he gives you, you tend, you keep, you nurture. And we've all not done well at it, but we need to take care of the things in our care. Because it would serve us for a very long time, and that would be to the glory of God. And if it would have you bless someone else with it, you can bless someone with something that is not in a horrible state. Did you get that? All right? So God put Adam in a garden and said, tend it, keep it, watch over it. So Adam wasn't just, hey, I don't care. No attachment. No, there's a responsibility. So Jesus assures you of prosperity if you give to the kingdom. All right? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, teach those who are rich in this world. And you have to be clear. Context, again, this world. That means you could be rich here and not rich there and not all of that. But you see, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money. Two things that would happen with prosperity more, but two, pride. And then you start trusting in it. You trust. Money will solve it. Money will solve. When you do that to yourself, you'll hurt your ability to trust God or to wait on the Spirit of God. Because, since you have the money, pay it. Since you have money, do it. So give them the money. Let's move on. And if we keep at that, you won't pause to one day say, can we take a day or two to pray about it? Child of God, please train yourself. I know you've been trying to look for that, you know, thing online. You finally found it. You hold on. What if the Holy Ghost has worked out a way? These things are funny. All right? And it happens. I'm going to give an example. Just, it's an example. People could push you. Why don't you have land? You must buy land. Get land. Buy land. I'm not talking about real estate people push. I'm just saying family. And anybody push you. Then you do, all right? Now, yeah, I mean, land is land. We always do well, I presume. And then 8 months down the line, you've done foundation and all, and God moves you completely from there, that area, that place, moves you way off. Changes your status so much that he now shows you the land he wants you to buy. That one was maybe Ishmael, maybe people pushed, maybe whatever it is. God tells people to buy land too. Now, doesn't mean someone else is buying and say, no. Now, we're learning being led. Stay with my context. You've got to learn to be led. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Maybe when I'm 55, some of these things will be sweeter to see. All right, so what I mean by that is just watch how God works. And you just see how amazing it is. That's all I'm saying. All right? What I mean is, like, when I came to Jebu, right, it took some friends, 5 years, some 8, some almost 10 years to say, to come out to say it. They must have said it before they said it. So sometimes you just watch. God is doing something. I remember when I went to preach. I've shared that with you guys before. At a friend's church, we were like 10. He had like 15 or more people at the leaders' meetings. And I told him, I said, what we're doing, I'm so convinced about it that this church is going to grow. And the church grew. Because of something God is doing. And that's all I'm teaching here. Let God see that you're free from attachments. You can't say it to him and not mean it. You got to act it out. All right? And Bible challenges us. I want ways to do that. Don't put your trust in the money. And learn to give. All right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, it's like a fatherly pastoral message, I assume. But beware of attachments. Kenny Hagin, and please, while I'm at it, join me in Influence of the Spirit today. If you noticed last Sunday, the tilt was quite similar. We're running Influence of the Spirit on Spirit, of course, Influence of the Spirit. All right, the tilt is quite similar. So I want you to learn what you're learning this morning. Think on it when we're done. But also, please, this evening, I would love that you join again and listen. I will be sharing things I've not said here, and it will add to your understanding. No attachments. Teach them that are rich in this world not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is unreliable. All right? It says their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. 18 says, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. 19 now says, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life or like eternal life. Meaning there's what I do with money here that affects my spiritual state later. So says, how? It's God's word. However I handle my finances for kingdom, for the impact of lives, for transforming of people, God says it has an eternal reward. Is it that money shows up in heaven as harvest? No, but the kingdom impact, the lives, the people, the reward, it does something to your heavenly account. It does something to the reward you will get at the last day. An average person, you know, in this church, and maybe let me just say, if you listening to me right now, make up your mind. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. So make up your mind. I take up my kingdom responsibility to be a radical kingdom giver. And radical is not in amount alone, it's value. Make up your mind. I will do all I can to make sure kingdom is expanding. I'll do all I can. I'll be part of kingdom expansion. I mean, Kenneth Copeland's ministry had their 40th for the Southwest Believers Convention. It was amazing. Guess what, guys? Before the convention began, budget was met. Because what they get to do, all right, is, well, of course, ministry runs. I mean, Kenneth Copeland's ministry is one of the, you know, respected when it comes to prosperity. But during the meetings also, they get to announce, right? There's what is called speaker's offering. Okay? So, you know, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, you know, Jesse, Jerry, everybody's preaching. So that you give to the speakers. So at the end of the meeting, they equally just, they announce, they say publicly. They divide all the money equally to all the speakers. And then they, of course, ministry would have had what they put together. And then they have the minimum amount for everything they want to do. And the way they run, of course, they could start a meeting and then offerings of the meeting meet the budget of the meeting. They do that, all right? It's how they run a whole lot. They announce the budget has been met. And guess some of the people that pushed the budget, some of the speakers and Creflo, they sent in money for the budget of the meeting. Oh. So they are not just people going to the meeting to say, well, I came here to preach. Where's my honorarium? They see the impact that meeting is going to have on lives. This is not sentimental giving. This is changing lives. Same thing is happening to us. I have people who listen to the morning faith boost. Someone paid for the next 1 year. Somebody, person is in Nigeria. This thing has been blessing me, sir. When are we, if I like, was when the person mentioned it, that we had to go find out, when is the payment even expiring? A person paid 1 year. One whole year. And that's how much was it? Maybe like 80-something or 90-something thousand. They said, well, it's not in Nigeria. No, it's a seed. He will obviously give it in his own home church. This thing is blessing people. I've had people send money for data. There's a pastor in Warri till now. Warri, yeah, Bonnie. Till now, I've not set my eyes on him. He was blessed by one of my posts on Facebook. Said thank you to me. Asked my account details. Sent 10,000 naira. He's a pastor. He has a church. He doesn't have a business sending 10,000 naira to me. Doesn't. But he understands kingdom. This thing is blessing people. This thing blessed me. If I am part of this thing blessing people, the blessing that it would have, the impact it will have on all the people it is blessing, I'm going to be a partaker of that impact. It becomes part of his own heavenly reward. I've had people send me data again and again and again. And what we do here, it runs data. I mean, faith boost every day, you're sharing this. I share, even to pastors, seriously. I have a broadcast list of pastors, and I send them audio teachings. I've sent them to Walmart to them. I've sent Kenny. I've been doing that thing for a long time. To pastors. One evening, I mean, I was so blessed. I needed money. If I had to quickly do like one, someone should quickly let me have one particular amount and all of that. A pastor sent me, he said, I was meeting and God spoke to me and said, reach out to Pastor X right now and send him X amount of money. I'm like, oh my goodness. Me and this pastor are not close. But he's on that list. And maybe I can't tell why God will have him do that. And he said, sir, I was meeting God, please end your account right now. It's okay. And then I saw the man, I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm not sitting, I share the way you get materials. I've been doing that to people for years. The way you hear me talk about Kenny Hagin, go and read this. I've been doing that since my life began with Kenny Hagin, 1997. I recommend materials. When Kenny Hagin's materials used to be available in Nigeria, I registered so many people. So many, because once you get the magazine, there's that place where you could fill in and mail it back. And then we'll fill people's names. And then we order, or they write letter. We help them write it. I did that for a lot of people. And we write for fellowships too, on campus. And then they'll send free money. Whatever you can, make up your mind. I'm a kingdom ambassador. I'm committed to spreading the kingdom. Whatever you can do. And money has a lot to do there. So why would we say be poor? No! It is God that gives us the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Doesn't just want you attached to the wealth. He will give you the power to use it. He will give you the power to get it, but not the attachment of it. So we better look at 1 Timothy next week, because, you know, people say, oh, the love of money is the root of evil. You know, and some interpret that money is the root. No, money in itself is not the root of evil. It's the love. And someone could have none of it and love it. Someone could be super broke and love it, and that person is just covetous and doesn't have it, but just covet it. We don't love money, guys. We have money. We will make money. We'll have a lot of money. We do not love money. The love of it, that's the root of all evil. That's what scripture says. Oh, but have it. Have it in millions and billions if you can. But don't love it. Don't love it. Did you get that? So you and I have got to make up our minds. I'm a kingdom person. And I'll do all I can for kingdom. I'll do all I can to push forth kingdom. I'll do all I can to advance kingdom. And that's what Jesus taught the guy. Hey, sell all you got, follow me. And then he told the people following him, you're going to get houses. God is going to bless you. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. What's the connection between money and heaven? I just gave you a classic example. When you're part of what touches lives, and this ministry you're in is touching lives, all right? Seriously. All over. When I say all over the world, it doesn't mean we're touching millions of people or maybe thousands of people. Yet, you know, regularly, no. But nations are represented in the things we do on Sundays, every Monday to Friday. Many of you share now the Sunday services, and thank you for sharing, you know, even the Wednesday services. And you have your friends, your family, old schoolmates joining in. People are getting blessed. Make up your mind to be a radical kingdom sponsorer. Make up your mind. You've got to be led, especially in this area of finance. Or going to be led, or going to make a lot of money. God is going to lead you to wealth. God will lead you to where abundance is, the treasures in darkness and the hidden riches in secret places. God will lead us to them. In Isaiah 48:17, he said, I am the Lord your Redeemer that teaches you to profit. Whether you want to connect the profit to spiritual, whatever, any spiritual profit you have would affect every other area of your life. So God will teach you to profit. Will teach you to advance and to make good your life. Do you understand that? Jesus says, don't lay up treasures on the earth where thieves can break in to steal, or when moth can come in, or when rat self can come. But he said, lay up treasures in heaven. How do you do that? Do I carry money and fling to heaven? No. It's by giving. Kingdom advancement. It translates into souls, into the impact in the lives of men. And something is entering my record in heaven. It's impacting, changing. Something is entering my record in heaven. As a ministry, we've sown to missionaries, guys. We've sown to ministers. We've sown to ministries. Yeah. All right? So I'm saying you as a believer, don't sit there. Your 500 naira, your 2,000 naira, your 50,000 naira, your 150,000, whatever it is, guys. Kingdom. Don't just think, oh, let me be comfortable. Oh, let me live my life. You have to love the Lord more than you. But the Lord you love is love. He will take care of you. And like I said last week, the Lord won't wake you up every day and always say, all your money, bring it. All your money. Oh, come on, it's not. No. Honor the Lord with your substance, the Bible says. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. It says your barns would explode with plenty. But it's honoring Him first. Lord, I honor you. Of this amount I have now, I honor you. Of this increase I have now, I honor you. But if we're not careful, there's a lot of impulsive buying on the media. A lot of things on the internet. A lot of desires you've had that, money has come now. Lord, I honor you. Lord, I honor you. And you honor the Lord by honoring His word. Where are the places in the Bible you're told to give to? Give to those that bless you spiritually. Give to fellow believers. Give to the poor. Take care of your family. The word already gives you what to do. You now sit over that money and look at how to apportion. Maybe it's every quarter here, every 2 months here, every 6 months there. Whatever you want. It's your money. But look into the word. Where are the places the Lord will have me give to? What's the regularity I want to put in there? How do I want to put it there? All right? Well, of every income, what do you say is kingdom? There should be kingdom. If not, and that happens. You drop 1,000 there in the offering, you feel, I gave 1 grand. Hammer. And then you walk into an eatery, and then you blow like 7,500 there. One meal. Not bad. Love your life, and that's good. But love the Lord. Love the Lord. And hey, like I said, this is your money. But understand what I'm trying to say. So it's not, are you saying I shouldn't have a good life? No. If you've made up your mind, it's 25% of your income that goes to the Lord and 75% to kingdom. The 75% is your own to enjoy, to have fun with, to get blessed by. So get blessed, Enjoy what is yours. Enjoy what belongs to you. But no attachments. Do you understand that? No attachment. So we'll end with 2 Corinthians and then the 8th chapter. I trust that this is clear. All I'm dealing with, sometimes back then, I'll be uncomfortable talking, I'm like, okay, I spent too much. No, I would spend, and like I've had to say to you guys, I'm not going to be shy to address these things, all right? And we've done prayer, we did love for almost 2 months, and then we've done, so faith, and we'll talk this one. And all we're sitting on is be led. But you're leading, and I've come to understand that practically also, you can be completely led. Someone was going to be baptized, and then the joke, but the morale is in the story. All right, a joke rather, but morale. So someone's going to be baptized, and then he had entered the water, so it was now about to be dipped. And then he told the pastor, hold on, brought out his wallet, and wanted to hand over to a friend. Pastor now said, if you can't be baptized with your wallet, But the point the pastor's trying to address is everything. So his money, your mind is going to, pastor, wait, my wallet is in my back pocket. Nobody will ask you to be baptized and then mess up all the things in your wallet. But it was about the attachment. That's the story. So, So Paul is saying, and I won't wait to read everything here, because we need to close. But please, all I'm dealing with is be led. Check what leads you. And I'm still going to deal with, but I'm feeling I'm uncomfortable. Is it money? No. It could be the Lord making you uncomfortable, that there's more to your life than where you are. That's not money leading you. But I'm dealing first with attachment. When you train yourself, and that's why I'll give you spiritual materials, how to be trained, how to train your human spirit. We'll give you things to feed your spirit on, all right? And next Sunday again, you're going to get something. In fact, today you're getting something. I mean, every Sunday you're going to get something. And this week's teaching would really seriously help your prayer life. But I'm almost asking myself, I don't want to give out one message. I want to give out the entire four. Maybe two out of the four. Maybe. So you'll get something. But if you want all four, ask for it. You get all four. So if you get one, two. But it will change your prayer life. All right, this week's teaching. It will change your prayer life. So we're here to help you. So you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm not sure this is me just wanting more money. This is the Lord saying there's more and he wants me to reach out for it. Then go for it. Shoot for it. How did church expand? How do we do big things? All right, it's not God trying to keep you low and mediocre. No! We're just not attached. You don't see success and you want to attach. No! God says, leave that. Move here. We're ready. Or he says, go, you go. Go with all your big guns and make it good. Be excellent about what you're doing. If you have to spend money, spend money. Do what you got to do. Are we clear? No attachments. That's what we're learning. I got to end. All right. So, Paul is in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, says, since you excel in so many ways, in faith, gifted speakers, knowledge, enthusiasm, and your love for us, I want you to excel also in this gracious act of giving. So we're going to deal with this, all right? Because this is it. So, I mean, SOSC, they know us for faith. We're a family of faith, love, and victory. So faith, we have good word here, all right? We have good word. We know God's word. We're reading books. We're learning. But Paul says, I want you to also excel in this gracious act of giving. Look at verse 6 says, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you. I'm using NLT. To return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. So Paul calls giving ministry. Paul calls giving a gracious act. Every believer ought to be a giver. Every believer ought to be a kingdom sponsor. That's who you are. Find how to sponsor kingdom. Look at your monthly budget. How much of this is kingdom? How much of this? God is wanting to have a great life, no problem. But look at, and if you say, okay, well, I've dedicated 20% of my income to kingdom. Kingdom is different from what you send to family or parents. No, that's not kingdom. That's family. You need to take care of your home or else you're telling yourself you're worse than an infidel. You don't put family inside kingdom. Family is family. Kingdom is kingdom. Kingdom is God. This must go to what you're doing. I'm a kingdom sponsorer. I understand that I am a steward. I'm a conduit of the blessings of God. I'm a storehouse of God's blessing. That's who you are. So the blessings flow through you. You enjoy it, but it goes out to convert into the impact of souls. When lockdown finally ends, there are books I'm going to ask you to read. Hard copies. When we say, oh, let's read, I won't mind someone standing up and saying, how much is a book? Oh, 1,005, oh, 2,003. Okay, let me drop two copies, you know. And you tell the pastor, the group leader, extra copy for whoever I might not be able to get. Let's enter kingdom. I want to do something, okay. I'll drop 50K for the next 6 months. I'll drop 20K for the next 5 months. I'll drop 10K. Because it's kingdom. You're saying, this is my little, but I'm going to show to God I'm faithful in little, therefore I'm faithful in much. This is kingdom. All right? I believe you're blessed. I believe that helped you. Excuse me. I believe you're blessed. I believe that helped you. All right? So, you were blessed. All right? If you've not been joining Morning Faith Boost, please do. Please do. All right? Please do. Other details will be communicated to you on things you need to know. But this evening, please, 5 p.m., Influence of Faith, please make out time. All right? It's always on my IGTV afterwards. You can watch it later. But if you can, go live so that you can share right there, Spreaker, Facebook, just share. Let everybody around you get blessed, okay? All right? Account details are right there on the screen. Give. No stress. No pressure. You are a kingdom sponsor person. So make up your mind. If it's this amount once a month, all right, because if your salary is once a month, then it's once a month. So this is the amount, and I'm cutting off 20%, 15%, and it's his kingdom. I know we're touching lives in this ministry, and we're going all over the world. So give, all right? give, you know, and you know you're blessed giving, all right? So, Father, we thank you and we give you praise. We honor you for the good word that we're hearing and how we're maturing in the things of you. We give you praise and honor. We adore you. Thank you, mighty Father. We give you praise. We do give you praise. Thank you. Thank you, because this new week is filled with favor, increase, revelation, and strength in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. So, blessings. Have a beautiful, beautiful time. Yeah, bye. Oceans deep, my faith will